Come Let Me Love You, Come Love Me Again, by Obsessive Reader, read by X-Men Hater. The letters start arriving in cloud recesses a few weeks after their parting on a windswept bridge at the edges of Gusu District. They are crumpled and ink-stained, with characters that run together, as though Wei Ying was in too much of a hurry to raise the brush fully off the paper. They came every 2 or 3 weeks, which is more often than Long Wanzi would have expected, and that makes something inside him hum like the last resonating notes of a plucked guttine string. In person, Wei Ying will share every passing thought that flashes through his brilliant mind like darting minnows in a stream, but the effort of holding on to them long enough to put down on paper seems to mean something. Long Wanzi can't help but hope that it means that Wei Ying treasures their tenuous connection as much as he does. He considers each and every one of the letters a gift and wishes a reply could reach Wei Ying before he inevitably moves on to the next village or town. But then, the one-way conversation is not unfamiliar to him, being much like a conversation with Wei Ying himself before everything, when Wei Ying still poked and prodded at him and made him feel like the only person who didn't understand the joke. By the time Long Wanzi formulated a response, Wei Ying had already moved on, leaving him to play catch-up once again. "Were there always so many dogs in all the places we visited while searching for our dear friend?" Wei Ying writes in a letter Long Wanzi receives in autumn. "It seems impossible that there weren't, and yet we hardly ever saw any." And then, scratched out, "Lan Chan, did you scare them all away before I ever noticed them?" The tips of Long Wanzi's ears burn when he finally makes out the part that Wei Ying canceled out. It was true, he did. A week after Cloud Recesses celebrates the Midwinter Festival, in their own restrained manner, a courier arrives from Qinghe with a packet containing an official letter from sect leader Nie, seeking advice on matters relating the Nie sect's use of sabers. Also inside the packet is a letter in a familiar, careless hand. It is unusually brief and missing the incisive and humorous observations Wei Ying peppers his letters with. "I have accepted sect leader Nia's invitation to winter with him. He assures me the hot water and the finest wines will be readily available in plentiful supply. How can I refuse an offer like that? At the very least, conversation should prove interesting. I will be here until the snow melts and the passes are clear enough for travel." And then scratched out. "And there should be more than enough time for a letter from Cloud." Long Wanzi specifically extended Wei Ying an invitation to winter in Cloud Recesses when he pressed a jade entry token into Wei Ying's hand before they parted. He even had the token specially made and engraved with his seal to ensure that no sentry would dare deny entry to the Yiling Patriarch and his King Tankerous donkey. And yet, reading the letter, Long Wanzi is 15 again, trying to understand the obscure pain that settled in his chest every time he saw Wei Ying laughing and joking with the other disciples, Nie Huaisang chief among them. Time continues to pass, monotonous day by monotonous day. The receding of winter means the passes are open, once more, to cultivators seeking the chief cultivator's advice, which, once obtained, was often disregarded. Long Wanzi is no dictator, and will never be one, so the waste of everyone's time is a source of constant irritation for him. He keeps his face blank and continues on regardless. There are changes he hopes to make in the way the cultivation world operates, especially the stranglehold the noble families have on access to learning. Wei Ying, being the son of a servant and a rogue cultivator, would have never had the chance to come to Cloud Recesses to learn if he hadn't been taken in by Qiang Fengmian. How many talented, innovative people like him were never given the opportunity to improve? Another letter arrives. "Lan Chan, I write to you from Yungmeng. Thank you for that wonderfully bland letter that I received from you while in Qinghe. It was like a serving of Cloud Recess's food in letter form. I'm glad I'm not the only one paranoid about letters sent to and from Qinghe. My stay with Nie Huaisang was edifying, although I must note here that he lied about having the finest wines. There was no emperor's smile. He no longer hides how much he knows about everyone's business. This is far more than the idle gossip of noblemen. He must have quite the network of spies to be able to gather all that information. I was amused to note, however, that he shared nothing compromising about your actions as chief cultivator or your clan. Now that we know he was the bird that stalked the mantis, I can't help but be suspicious of his candor. Perhaps he knows there's no point in hiding. Perhaps he wants me to convey to you that he can be a useful ally. Perhaps I am just seeing shadows everywhere and he is merely engaging in gossip with an old friend. Not having you around to tease is making me maudlin, Lan Chan." Longwanzi pauses for a long time after reading this line, the ache in his chest making it hurt to breathe. "I am waiting for you here in Gusu," he thinks. Nie Huaisheng reports that you told off sect leader Yao for attempting to bribe you. Is it true you quoted your Lan sect rule at him? What was it again? Attempting to bribe an enforcer? I remember being on the receiving end of this. Did you want to attack him with a sword like you did me? That slimy old fart would have deserved it if you had. Longwanzi did not. The only person who had ever sparked such strong impulses in him was Wei Ying. He felt one such strong impulse several weeks ago when he heard from Sishui that Wei Ying was in Yumeng. He wanted to get on Bichen and fly straight to Yumeng to protect Wei Ying. The sound of Cheng Wanyan's enraged scream at Nightless City and the harsh grate of metal on stone rang loud in his ears, the hiss and crackle of Sidian as Cheng Wanyan had tried to attack Wei Ying from behind as they left Lotus Pier. Even seeing Wei Ying weakened and bleeding was not enough for Cheng Wanyan to control his rage. No, he did not want Cheng Wanyan anywhere near Wei Ying. But he accepted that Wei Ying still loved his brother in spite of it all, so he stayed where he was in Cloud Recesses. He fulfilled his responsibilities and tried not to pick fights with aggravating sect leaders and hated the distance that separated him from Wei Ying. In the end, it seemed like his worry was for naught, as Wei Ying passed through Yangmeng without encountering his brother. Lan Chan, Han Guanjun, Lan Er Gongzu, the latest letter begins. Longwanzi can hear the salutation in Wei Ying's exuberant voice. A pang of loneliness shivers through him as he holds the stained and ragged letter. Spring has fully taken hold, and the trees outside the Xingxi are full of birdsong, but his heart still feels trapped in winter. My errant feet have brought me back to Gusu. Can I steal you away from your duties for a few days? And then crossed out. It has been too long since. I will be at the Xingqiang Inn in Kaiyi Town in 2 weeks' time and will stay there for a month. If you are busy, I understand. The letter was sent a week ago and is signed simply, Wei Ying. The first tendril of hope unfurls in his chest, tentative and hesitant. He glares at the official documents stacked in orderly piles on his table, one for nuisance requests, one for matters that could be sorted if the parties would but set aside their pride for 5 minutes and have a proper discussion, one for matters that actually need the intervention of the chief cultivator. That last pile is minuscule compared to the rest. The sects prefer their chief cultivator to speak much and do little, which, unfortunately for all parties involved, runs completely counter to his preference to speak little and do much. He has a sudden mad urge to reduce all the unnecessary letters to cinders and make straight for the inn where Wei Ying will already be staying. It's probably for the best that right at that moment his brother taps on the frame of the open door and walks in. Lan Xichen appears at a passing glance to be his old self, serene and welcoming, not a hair out of place. But Longwanzi can see by the shadows under his eyes and the set of his mouth that his months of seclusion in Gentian House have brought him little peace. Lan Xichen looks at the letter in Longwanzi's hand. "Is that," he says, scrutinizing Longwanzi's face, "a letter from Wei Ying?" Longwanzi nods. "Is everything all right?" He nods again. A patient smile curves the corners of his brother's mouth. A small thing, a pale ghost of past smiles, but a smile nonetheless. Longwanzi takes it for the blessing that it is. "Forgive me for saying so," Lan Xichen says as he seats himself opposite Longwanzi. "But you do not look all right." How like his brother to still worry about others, even though he is just out of seclusion. "I am fine," Longwanzi says, because he is, even though every part of his being wants to be somewhere else. He puts away the letter, hoping that the act will help him put away his impatience to be gone, and pours his brother a cup of tea. Lan Xichen accepts the tea as gracefully as he accepts the matter as closed. "I have received a petition from another administrator who served under Xing Guangyao." His voice barely hesitates over the courtesy name. He has not used the more informal Ayao in Longwanzi's hearing since Guanyin Temple, but that hesitation tells him more about his brother's emotional state than the loudest wailing would. "Another orphan, like Xu Yang. Another outcast vulnerable to Xing Guangyao's manipulation, someone whose loyalty could be easily won." After coming out of seclusion, Lan Xichen claimed the task of reviewing all of Xing Guangyao's major decisions during his time as chief cultivator. It worries Long Wanzi that his brother has taken on responsibility for Xing Guangyao's actions, but the work is helping his brother in some way, and for that reason alone, he continues to support Lan Xichen's choice. He doesn't know whether it makes things better or worse that Xing Guangyao's actions hold up to scrutiny for the most part. As chief cultivator, Xing Guangyao cleaned up the mess created first by Wen Rohan and then by Xing Guangshan, and left a smoothly running bureaucracy behind that accepted the transition of power to a new chief cultivator with relatively good grace. Some of the common folk Xing Guangyao employed remained fanatically loyal to him, though, much like Su Menshan right up into his death, and Lan Xichen is determined to weed them out. "This man seems earnest enough," Lan Xichen continues, "and eager to assist you as the new chief cultivator." His eyes cloud over. "But then, perhaps I am not the best judge of character." "Brother," Lan Wanzi interrupts, uncaring that he is breaking a sect rule. "Not everyone you choose to show kindness to will be unworthy. The fault was not yours, it was his." His brother extended that same kindness to many, including Wei Ying, even though he was reviled as the Yiling Patriarch. It was not his brother's fault that he failed to see through Xing Guangyao. Hardly anyone did. Lan Xichen turns away to look out the window. "Had I not trusted, we might not have won the Sunshot campaign without the information he passed to you." A wry smile is playing about his brother's lips when he turns back to face Lan Wanzi. It doesn't hide the sadness in his eyes. "Two consecutive interruptions, Wanzi. Your Wei Ying has been a positive influence on you." "Not mine," Lan Wanzi thinks, sadly. "You are changing the subject, brother." "I do not trust myself anymore," Lan Xichen says. "I trust you." "Wanzi." There's a note of resigned amusement in the way Lan Xichen speaks his name, familiar from all the times he was being particularly stubborn about something. He can let the matter rest for now. "Now it is your turn," Lan Xichen says. "Why did you have that look on your face when I came in?" It's become so rare to see that hint of mischief in his brother's eyes that Lan Wanzi finds himself answering almost in spite of himself. "Wei Ying is in Gusu." "Ah." A furtive smile tugs at Lan Xichen's lips. Lan Wanzi is reminded of all the times his brother had put one or the other of them in each other's path. Lan Xichen takes a contemplative sip of tea. "You should go meet him." At Lan Wanzi's silence, Lan Xichen says, "Do not let this chance go, Wanzi. I will take care of things here while you are gone." "Brother." Lan Xichen quirks a brow. "Do you think I'm not up to it?" "I do not doubt you." Having been groomed to lead the Lan sect since he was young, Lan Xichen is far better suited to the role of chief cultivator than he is. Lan Wanzi only accepted the role because Lan Xichen was still healing from the grievous wound to his heart. His brother protected him as best he could in the aftermath of Wei Ying's death. Lan Wanzi could do no less when his brother needed him. "Then please go, Wanzi." The plea in Lan Xichen's voice is so naked that Lan Wanzi's heart aches to hear it. "It will ease my heart to know that some happiness came from all of this for both of you, who have been so ill-used by..." Lan Xichen's voice trails off, unable to speak the name. "Let me atone. It will help me sleep better at night." They both know it for the lie it is. "Brother, you have nothing to atone for." Lan Wanzi's heart is a heavy, sharp-edged stone in his chest. "But I will go." A small, grateful smile is his only answer. One day. He forces himself to spend one day catching an amused Lan Xichen up on matters needing his attention as acting chief cultivator while Lan Wanzi is away. But with one thing and another needing his attention, it's late afternoon of the next day before he's flying out over the hills of Gusu towards Kaiyi Town, towards Wei Ying. It is only by chance that he happens to spot a man in black robes standing at the edge of a grassy ridge, silhouetted against the sky. Even if Lan Wanzi couldn't recognize the lean lines of that body anywhere, the donkey with eye-catching red tassels on its halter would have confirmed his identity. Wei Ying looks very alone standing in that ocean of grass, and Lan Wanzi feels an instant of stomach-clenching, paralyzing fear as he recalls the last time he saw Wei Ying at the edge of a high place. He brings Bi Chen down to alight some distance behind Wei Ying, needing some time to calm himself. "Do not ask. Do not ask Wei Ying to stay in Gusu. Every time he asked, it ended in anger and misunderstandings. Let him be free. His resolve is shaken when familiar notes swirl through the air. Their song, the song he wrote as a boy in cloud recesses, trying to make sense of the storm Wei Ying roused in him, the song he's played for only one person, the song that told him Wei Ying had come back to him. His feet are moving before he's even conscious of the decision to approach. Wei Ying. The notes from the ditsa cut off as Wei Ying goes absolutely still. Over the quiet whisper of the wind through grass, Long Wanxi can hear the rapid beat of his own heart. Wei Ying's hands drop to his side slowly, so slowly, as though time has slowed down for both of them. He turns, a look almost of fear in his face, and then Wei Ying smiles, slow and beautiful and warm and relieved, as though Long Wanxi standing before him is a treasured dream fulfilled. Lan Chan, he breathes. The hope Long Wanxi carries in his chest spreads its wings further. Feelings clog up his throat and try to spill forth, but as always, he can't find the words to speak them. He's never felt the lack in himself as keenly as he does now, while staring at Wei Ying's dearly missed face. Lan Chan, Wei Ying cajoles. Say something. You're making me nervous. It is good to see you, he manages at last. Wei Ying's smile brightens till it rivals the sun in the sky. Ah, Lan Chan, did you miss me too? Too, Long Wanxi thinks. Any further discussion is interrupted when Little Apple ambles up to Long Wanxi and bumps its head against his arm. Aya, you brazen donkey. Lan Chan has just arrived. Wei Ying shoves at his donkey, but is completely ignored as Little Apple nudges Long Wanxi again. Long Wanxi hides his amusement at Wei Ying calling anyone, or anything in this case, brazen, as he pulls an apple out of his Tiankun pouch and barely retracts his fingers in time to avoid them getting bitten off. Wei Ying watches Little Apple crunching on the apple with a deeply offended look on his face. How can you get food from Lan Chan before me? He says to the donkey. You really are too much. I will buy you food now, Long Wanxi says, if it will make you feel better. Wei Ying waggles a finger at him. You're teasing me, I know, but the joke's on you, Lan Chan. Of course I accept. So saying, he takes Little Apple's reins and falls into step with Long Wanxi. You're not riding? I would walk with you a while, Wei Ying says, a soft smile playing about his lips as he bumps his shoulder against Long Wanxi's. Long Wanxi nods, contentment filling his heart now that they are side by side once again. It is enough. As with most things involving Wei Ying, peace does not last long. There is a misadventure involving a startled pheasant, a startled donkey, an equally startled Wei Ying now astride said donkey, and unfortunately, a very muddy riverbank. An hour later, after stopping to collect Wei Ying's things from Xing Qiang Inn, they walk, that is to say, Long Wanxi walks and Wei Ying squelches, into the finest inn in Kai Yi Town. Your best room, Long Wanxi says to the prosperous-looking innkeeper who rushed out to the courtyard to meet them. During his travels with Wei Ying, they always shared one room, and he's reasonably sure Wei Ying won't mind continuing the practice. The innkeeper's gaze flicks to the mud-encrusted man by his side. It's already an improvement from Wei Ying's original state of mud-encrusted and leaf and twig festooned, but there was only so much they could scrape off without the help of a bath. Completely naked, Long Wanxi's mind supplies, unhelpfully. The innkeeper frowns, lips curling slightly in distaste at the scent of mud wafting in the air. Long Wanxi stares down his nose at the innkeeper, daring him to comment on Wei Ying's filthy, bedraggled state. In an uncharacteristic move, Wei Ying shrinks into himself as though trying to make himself less noticeable. The innkeeper swallows and smiles ingratiatingly when he notices Long Wanxi's forbidding expression. Certainly, Hong Guanjun, he says in an obsequious voice. I also have a room above the stables that would be perfect for your manservant. Long Wanxi is about to remind the man in very short and blunt sentences that he did not ask for another room when he feels a tug at his sleeve. It's all right, Lan Chan, Wei Ying says in a low voice. The stable is fine for me. Wei Ying is about to walk off when Long Wanxi wraps an arm around his shoulder and tugs him back into place. Always quick to defend others, but not himself. always used to being put down and belittled. Wei Ying deserves the world, and Lang Wanzi will do his best to give it to him. Your best room, Lang Wanzi says. Now. From the corner of his eye, he sees a shy smile on Wei Ying's face before he ducks his head. Yes, Hong Guanjun, the innkeeper stammers, eyes flickering between them in consternation. This way. They follow the innkeeper to a large, well-appointed corner room. Lang Wanzi keeps his arm wrapped around Wei Ying, who has started to shiver in the cool evening breeze that blows through the open windows that line the corridor. At the door to their room, the innkeeper bows and waves them in. I will have a tub sent up straight away. Hot water, Lang Wanzi says, voice flat. With a nod, the innkeeper scurries off. As soon as the door closes behind him, Wei Ying turns to him. Aya, Lan Chan, there was no need to make a fuss. Lang Wanzi gives Wei Ying a look before setting his things down on the low table. I did not make a fuss. So stubborn, Wei Ying sighs. Nothing wrong with sleeping in the stables. I've slept in many. They're more comfortable than you'd think. You are cold and wet. You might fall sick. Wei Ying has no golden core to keep him warm, to help him heal from wounds, to give him strength. He will always place himself last on the list of people that need taking care of. It is Lang Wanzi's constant worry that something will happen to Wei Ying while he's too far away to do anything about it. Not even half a day and I'm already causing you trouble. Wei Ying's face falls when he catches sight of the mud streaks on Lang Wanzi's white outer robe. I've dirtied your clothes, he says, sounding strangely defeated. The mud will wash off. Instead of meeting Lang Wanzi's gaze, Wei Ying picks at a streak of dried mud on the back of his hand. It flakes off and drifts to the floor. Almost to himself, he says, I wanted... it doesn't matter. The corners of his mouth are turned down, giving him a disconsolate look. Wei Ying. Lang Wanzi waits until Wei Ying looks up. You are never a bother. Wei Ying's soft inhalation sounds abnormally loud in the silence that stretches out between them. When a knock on the door interrupts them just as Wei Ying opens his mouth to say something, Lang Wanzi is not sure whether to be relieved or disappointed. By the time the two men who knocked on the door finish setting up the tub and filling it with hot water, the moment is well and truly lost. Lang Wanzi's fingers move with practiced ease over the strings of his guqin, the familiar measures of their song resonating through the air, to the accompaniment of splashing water and Wei Ying's chatter as he bathes behind the privacy screen, words tumbling over themselves like a dam released. The urge to play the song had tugged at Lang Wanzi ever since he heard the plaintive sound of Chen Qing in the wind. Do you know, Wei Ying says, I think Nei Huaisang is the reason why there are so many hideous portraits of the Yiling Patriarch. Remember the ones we saw in Qinghe? Wei Ying makes a disgruntled noise. Hideous things. I look nothing like that. I don't have hairy moles or... There's a short pause, probably indicating Wei Ying manfully wrestling himself back to his original point. Anyway, I look nothing like those portraits, and I think that's the whole point. I had a most oblique conversation with Nie Huaisang over some very good wine where he not quite apologized for dragging me back from the dead. At least, I think that's what he was doing. Hard to tell with him. Wei Ying's voice dips and falls as he speaks, and Lang Wanzi tries not to picture him naked in the tub, pale shoulders wet and gleaming, long sinuous line of his back as he twists and turns to wash his body. So I think he's been commissioning those portraits as a way to make it up to me. No one would ever suspect me of being the Yiling Patriarch with those portraits floating around. That sort of misdirection seemed entirely in character with the person who orchestrated Xing Guangyao's downfall without getting a single drop of blood on his hands. If Wei Ying, the only person who even comes close to matching that convoluted and subtle mind, thinks Nie Huaisang is behind the portraits, Lang Wanzi is inclined to believe him. Are you angry he brought you back? It's something they've never discussed, and Lang Wanzi would go so far as to say it was a topic he actively avoided. His life feels nearly complete now that Wei Ying is back, but perhaps Wei Ying doesn't feel the same. Perhaps death was a release for him. He had chosen to fall, after all. The silence in the room is ringingly loud, not even the sound of water breaking it. Lan Chan, Wei Ying says finally, voice hushed. What a question. Not even a day back from the dead and you were once again in my life. How could I be angry? Long Wanzi's fingers strike a wrong note that hangs discordantly in the air. Why do these statements fall so easily from Wei Ying's lips? It is like being a boy in the cloud recesses again, as he's left wondering if Wei Ying means the things he says, or if he's just trying to provoke a reaction. A pained yelp from Wei Ying scatters all his thoughts. He's up and around the privacy screen in a flurry of robes before he's considered the fact that Wei Ying is naked in the tub. Lan Chan! Frantic splashing accompanies Wei Ying's startled cry, just as Long Wanzi is abruptly reminded of that fact by the sight of bare wet skin and wide surprised eyes. Long Wanzi turns sharply on his heel and faces the wall, the tips of his ears burning. Wei Ying, are you all right? Yes, yes, Wei Ying says in a rush. My fingers got caught in my hair, that's all. Thank you for coming so quickly to my defense, though. Long Wanzi can hear the smile in Wei Ying's voice, as well as something else, something that feels almost as tactile as the brush of soft fur against his skin. May I help? Long Wanzi asks, addressing the question to the wall. What? Wei Ying stutters. Your hair, Long Wanzi says. It is tangled. Oh, Wei Ying sounds oddly breathless, and Long Wanzi resists the urge to turn around to check on him. Yes, please. It's completely hopeless. I will get the comb. When Long Wanzi approaches the privacy screen again, comb in hand, he allows himself one silent moment to prepare himself before he steps around it. Wei Ying has turned around so his back is to Long Wanzi, and in the lamplight his skin gleams like gold. He doesn't seem to be breathing. Long Wanzi settles behind him and gathers a handful of hair and begins to comb out the tangles. A fine tremor runs through Wei Ying, and there is a slight hitch to his breath as he inhales. Are you cold? Long Wanzi asks. Wei Ying shakes his head in response. Long Wanzi cannot help but let his eyes rove over the bare skin of Wei Ying's back as he works the comb through the thick, tangled mass of hair. He frowns at the way the knobs of Wei Ying's spine stand out under his skin. Wei Ying has lost weight since they parted. Long Wanzi resolves to feed him up as much as he can until they have to part once more. He is still chief cultivator and can only leave his responsibilities to a still heart-sore Long Xichen for so long, and Wei Ying prefers to roam the world, free and unencumbered. You are not eating enough. Wei Ying gives an affronted squawk. Ayo, Lan Chan, you'll end up single like this. Too direct. No woman will marry you. Long Wanzi's mouth compresses into a tight line as he gently works the comb through a stubborn knot of hair. It's fine. You don't care if you never get married? I don't care if no woman will marry me. Truthfully, there is only one person he wants to marry, and if that doesn't come to pass, then he is content to remain alone for the rest of his life. In the breathless silence that follows, Long Wanzi wonders if Wei Ying will finally understand what he's trying to say. What he's been trying to say for years now. When the silence continues to drag out, agonizing second by agonizing second, Long Wanzi wishes he had kept quiet after all. Perhaps it was not the best idea to make that disclosure while he sits right behind a naked Wei Ying. Long Wanzi is just about to ask if Wei Ying would rather have his own room when Wei Ying laughs wonderingly, light and almost breathless. Ah, Lan Chan, Wei Ying says. You are full of surprises. Long Wanzi doesn't know what to make of that, but Wei Ying hasn't pulled away, so either he missed the implication or he doesn't mind. Long Wanzi hopes it's the latter. As Long Wanzi works his way through one section of hair after another, Wei Ying tips his head to the side and rests it on his knees. His body goes loose and pliant and very, very tempting. Long Wanzi would think he's fallen asleep, except that he can see the contented curve of his lips. He looks at peace. After his return to life, Wei Ying seems to appreciate silence more. His boundless energy is less frenetic, more focused, and without the malign influence of the Stygian tiger seal, his temper is less volatile. Even his interactions with Long Wanzi feel kinder and less combative. Despite the tragedy that surrounded the investigation Nie Huaisung sparked off, working together with Wei Ying was a most painful kind of joy, and Long Wanzi misses him more than he can express. He'll treasure every moment of Wei Ying's visit to Gusu and store up the memories to last him until their next meeting. This quiet moment between them will probably end up as one of his most cherished memories, and so he continues sliding the comb through Wei Ying's hair, even though every last knot has been untangled. By the time reason reasserts itself, and Long Wanzi puts down the comb, Wei Ying's hair lies like a silken waterfall down the leanly muscled planes of his back. He makes himself stand up.
Wait here.
Wei Ying hums a quiet assent and doesn't move so much as a muscle. Long Wanzi retrieves a small bottle of oil that he uses to keep his own hair from getting tangled. Wei Ying made free with it when they traveled together, but it's clear he's been less than conscientious about caring for his hair, or himself, since they parted. Long Wanzi pours a few drops of oil onto his hand and gently works it through Wei Ying's wet hair. Wei Ying makes a happy sound as the light, warm scent of sandalwood perfumes the air. "I'll smell like you again," he murmurs dreamily. Long Wanzi likes the thought of that much more than is seemly, but he's long since reconciled himself to the possessiveness of his love for Wei Ying. When he's done, he stands up, taking the comb and bottle with him.
The water is getting cold.
Which is his fault since they took so much longer than necessary with Wei Ying's hair.
Do not stay too long.
Lan Chan, Wei Ying turns to look at him over his bare shoulder. Thank you. His smile is so very sweet and so very tempting that Long Wanzi can only nod before turning around and retreating back to the main area of the room. Once the water has been changed and Long Wanzi is ensconced in the tub, Wei Ying entertains him by recounting the details of his more unusual night hunts. Over the sound of Wei Ying's voice, Long Wanzi can hear the rustle of Wei Ying moving around and the sloshing sound of his beloved emperor's smile being poured. It's domestic and intimate and eases the ache of loneliness that's been his constant companion since they parted on a ridge outside Cloud Recesses. There are days when the Xingxi feels oppressive and its corners echo with the ghost of Wei Ying's voice. Now, the sound of that voice fills the empty place in Long Wanzi that Wei Ying had carved out for himself by dint of sheer audacity, sneaking over Long Wanzi's defenses like he snuck over the wall of Cloud Recesses, clutching his contraband alcohol with his smile like sunlight. The thought of returning to the quiet of the Xingxi after Wei Ying leaves Gusu is enough to make Long Wanzi consider helping himself to some of that wine. Lan Chan, Wei Ying says, voice suddenly gone serious. When I was in Qinghe, Nie Huaisang gave me some rare books he tracked down. Long Wanzi pauses in the middle of squeezing the water out of his hair.
Regarding?
Golden cores.
To help you rebuild yours.
He knows Wei Ying misses being able to wield Suibian. Before leaving Cloud Recesses, he entrusted the sword into Long Wanzi's care, stroking his thumb over the carved wooden sheath, as though in farewell, before he handed it over with a wistful look.
I think so, but there's nothing quite like my case since...
Wei Ying's voice trails off.
Since no one had ever willingly offered their core up to another person, Long Wanzi thinks. Wei Ying, if there is any help I can provide, I will give it.
Long Wanzi has faith in Wei Ying's genius. If anyone can find a solution, it's him. And if he cannot, then Long Wanzi will let himself grow old with Wei Ying and enter the reincarnation cycle. They will find each other again, and perhaps their next life will be a kinder one.
Wei Ying forces a laugh.
I don't know, Lan Chan. The case studies are on drained cores, tainted cores, damaged cores. Even if there are principles I can apply, the chances of success, and without Wen Qing.
The sudden quiet in the room feels full of the shadows of pain and death.
Hiya, look at me, getting maudlin. You'll think I've become boring in your absence.
I do not.
Long Wanzi picks up a clean inner robe and is about to pull it on over his still wet body when Wei Ying starts talking again, clearly wanting to put the subject of golden cores behind him.
Did I tell you about the case of the vengeful ghost in the red dress?
You did not.
Long Wanzi is uncomfortably reminded of the vengeful ghost that had tormented Wen Chao. He picks up his towel and resumes drying himself while Wei Ying recounts the tale of the ghost and how he had no choice but to eliminate her.
Can you believe it, Lan Chan? Wei Ying says, once the story is done. The woman's own father buried her in a red dress so she would come back as a vengeful ghost. He wanted revenge on the man who wronged her, but first the man died, then the man's fiancé died, then even he himself began to sicken.
Wei Ying's voice is quiet as he continues.
Revenge. It rarely goes according to plan.
There's a pause. Unless you're Nie Huaisung, Wei Ying says wryly, followed by the sound of a cup being set down on the table. Lung Wanxi steps out from behind the privacy screen, dressed very daringly, in only the underrobe and his trousers. His hair is loose about his shoulders, unbound except for his forehead ribbon. Only one person would he ever allow to see him like this. A thrill goes through him when he finds Wei Ying similarly dressed as he sits cross-legged next to the low table in the middle of the room, right hand fidgeting with a small stoppered bottle. His thick black hair is drying into its familiar full-bodied vigor. Lung Wanxi has dreamed of burying his fingers in that hair ever since he was a confused boy of 15. The scene is stunningly intimate, the kind of domestic familiarity shared only by cultivation partners or married spouses, and Lung Wanxi is near consumed by how much he wants. Catching sight of him, Wei Ying lurches to his feet with a nervous look on his face. His gaze takes in Lung Wanxi from head to toe and back again. He swallows visibly.
Lan Chan, I... He holds up the bottle in his hand.
This is for you, he says, words tumbling out in a rush.
I got it from an apothecarist I helped out. It's to help soothe scars.
Then, for no apparent reason that Lung Wanxi can discern, Wei Ying blushes a furious pink and can't quite meet his eyes. Thank you, Lung Wanxi says, touched by Wei Ying's thoughtfulness. He studies the high color on Wei Ying's cheeks. There is something purposeful in Wei Ying's actions that's intriguing, but he's content to let whatever Wei Ying has planned play out. After all, he'd been content to wait out the rest of his life to see Wei Ying again in the next.
I can...
Wei Ying flaps the hand, not holding the bottle in Lung Wanxi's direction. Rub it on for you. The apothecarist said it's best applied right after bathing. It's an offer that could have come from one of Lung Wanxi's more fervid dreams. He stares blankly at Wei Ying, his ability to form sentences burned away like morning mist in the heat of the day. Wei Ying's hand drops back to his side.
Never mind.
His lips curve into something that looks more grimace than smile. I know you don't like to be touched. This sudden consideration for his boundaries strikes Lung Wanxi as being wildly out of character for Wei Ying, who is the only person in his life who touches him without hesitation.
Not if it's you, he says.
Wei Ying's eyes widen and a smile blooms on his face, warm and glowing, bright as the sun. Lung Wanxi's heart is none too steady in his chest as he sits down next to the table with his back to Wei Ying. The air in the room feels heavy with potential, like a storm incoming, as he sheds his underrobe, folds it neatly, and places it on the table. Then, with determinedly steady hands, he gathers up his still damp hair and pulls it over his shoulder to bare his back to Wei Ying's gaze. Wei Ying settles on the floor behind him, a quiet, pained exhalation, the only reaction to the scars that Lung Wanxi has borne for nearly 17 years now. Time stretches as he clears his mind of expectations and focuses on the sound of the bottle being uncorked and the light herbal scent of the oil.
Ready? Wei Ying asks.
The first hesitant touch makes the skin of Lung Wanxi's back twitch. No one has touched his scars since they healed. In fact, no one has really touched his bare skin since the sect doctor removed the last of the bandages and pronounced him healed. Now his skin feels almost unbearably sensitive to the glide of Wei Ying's finger over each raised scar, his touch so careful and gentle that it feels like an apology. Wei Ying must know, then, how those scars came to be, since he is too curious by nature not to ask otherwise. And Lung Wanxi can guess who was the person who told him. He's surprised his brother took such a direct hand in the matter, but he's grateful to Lan Xichen for removing the burden of the telling from him. Wei Ying has only covered the upper half of his back when Lung Wanxi hears the hitch in Wei Ying's breathing and feels the faintest tremor in the fingers spreading oil on his skin.
Wei Ying.
Do they still hurt?
No.
They sometimes pull uncomfortably when he practices his sword forms, especially in the cold and dry winter months, but that is an inconvenience easily ignored.
I do not regret it, he adds,
because Wei Ying probably blames himself for them.
It was my choice, and I knew the consequences when I made it.
He can hear the sound of shaky breaths behind him as Wei Ying continues to stroke trembling fingers across his back.
Lan Chan, Wei Ying whispers on an exhale.
The warm heat of his palm is pressed to the center of Lung Wanxi's back for just a moment before it's removed, leaving the spot feeling cold and bereft. Wei Ying gets up and, in a move that makes Long Wanzi's heart race, kneels down in front of him. Almost hesitant, with eyes that hold the sheen of unshed tears, Wei Ying points at the Wen brand on Long Wanzi's bare chest. "May I?" Long Wanzi can only nod and pray that Wei Ying won't ask about the brand. Not now, not when something breathless and burgeoning seems to be spinning into life between them. How he got it is something he'd never told a soul, not even his brother, whose eyes held such sadness the first time he saw it. Long Wanzi will always wonder if he might have saved Wei Ying from pain and suffering and death if he'd only had the courage to step outside the strictures of his life like Wei Ying did. Wei Ying sacrificed everything to honor his promise to stand with justice. Long Wanzi did not. But now that he has Wei Ying back, he would rather put that time of half-crazed grief and guilt behind him, a time when even the pain of the brand seemed a welcome surcease to the tearing pain of loss. When Wei Ying draws in a breath and opens his mouth, Long Wanzi's entire body tenses. After a flicker of a glance up at Long Wanzi, Wei Ying holds his peace. That act reminds Long Wanzi just how truly kind Wei Ying can be. With careful fingers, Wei Ying smooths the oil slowly and carefully over the rough, raised surface of the burn scar right over Long Wanzi's heart. Goosebumps raise over his skin, and it takes all of his control to remain still while the scent of sandalwood and herbs rises around them, carried by the heat of their bodies. They're so close that it would take only leaning forward just a little for Long Wanzi to press a kiss to Wei Ying's perfect lips, lick the beauty mark just under his lower lip. "There," Wei Ying says, a little breathlessly. He stoppers the bottle and settles back on his heels. He puts the bottle on the table with a quiet click. As Long Wanzi pulls on his underrobe, very conscious of how they're both barely dressed, Wei Ying peeks up from under his lashes. "Lan Chan," he says.
"Wei Ying."
"The song, the one you wrote," Wei Ying says, fingers worrying the frayed hem of his inner robe. Long Wanzi's heart stops beating entirely in the space of time it takes for Wei Ying to inhale once, deep and shaky. "Is it called Wangxian?" Something hurt and tight inside Long Wanzi uncoils for the first time in years as his heart starts to hammer away in his chest.
"You remembered."
A strange sound escapes Wei Ying, not quite a laugh, not quite a gasp, even as his beautiful eyes fill up with tears. He tips forward and rests his forehead on Long Wanzi's shoulder, shuffling closer into the V formed by Long Wanzi's crossed legs. "I thought it was a dream," Wei Ying whispers. "A pathetic fantasy cooked up by a feverish brain. You're Hong Guan Jun, the best, most honorable person in the world. Surely you couldn't have written a song for me, for us." Long Wanzi strokes his hand gently down the fall of Wei Ying's hair, heart aching for their younger selves and the misconceptions their mutual silence bred.
"No dream."
When Wei Ying looks up, he's... the only word Long Wanzi can think of to describe it is glowing. There's so much happiness in his eyes and tenderness in the soft curve of his smile that Long Wanzi's breath catches at the sight. It is everything he's ever dreamed of seeing on Wei Ying's face and more. "I was such a fool, Lan Chan. I think I've loved you for a long time, even as far back as Cloud Recesses." The look he gives Long Wanzi is endearingly sheepish. "All those years I thought I wanted your attention when, really, I wanted your heart."
"You had it," Long Wanzi says. "You have it."
Wei Ying gives a soft cry and buries his face in the crook of Long Wanzi's neck. "Too direct, Lan Chan. Ugh, my heart is racing." Long Wanzi wraps his arms around Wei Ying's lean body and tugs him even closer.
"Why now?" he asks.
He's loved and yearned for so long that he cannot help but seek answers, reassurance. Wei Ying whines, sounding very embarrassed. His breath is warm and moist against Long Wanzi's skin.
"Wei Ying,
I missed you." The quiet confession is made to Long Wanzi's collarbone. "Every day, everywhere I went, I missed you. Even when Sishui and Wen Ning were with me, I missed you." He looks up, face flushed and expression rueful. "I know it's selfish of me to want more after everything you've already given me, but I kept thinking of how you tried to save me at Nightless City, how you wouldn't let me go, and I couldn't help hoping that maybe that moment in the Xuanyu Cave wasn't a dream after all." You are the least selfish person I know.
I think I will be very selfish about you, Lan Chan.
Longwanzi smiles. He sees nothing wrong with the sentiment. Wei Ying raises a hesitant finger and just barely brushes it against Longwanzi's mouth, as though still unsure of his welcome.
May I?
Longwanzi buries his fingers in the thick mass of Wei Ying's hair and pulls him into a kiss that speaks his answer for him. He was never one for words, after all. Maybe his kiss can express the love he's carried silent and hidden away in his heart for so many years. And it's sweet, so very sweet. But underneath it runs a river of heat that rises in both of them until Wei Ying pulls back with a gasp.
Lan Chan, Wei Ying whispers. I don't really know what to do. Everyone thinks I know the principle, but...
Longwanzi cuts Wei Ying off with a kiss. It is the same for me.
It's been so many years. You...
Wei Ying shakes his head.
Never?
For me, there is only you.
I'm sorry. Wei Ying's face crumples. I'm so sorry. It took me so long to realize, and then I left you for so long.
Not your fault. Longwanzi wipes away the tears making their way down Wei Ying's cheek. You are here now. That's all that matters.
Ah, Lan Chan, how can you just say such things? Have a care for this poor man's heart.
So saying, Wei Ying clambers into Longwanzi's lap without any regard for his heart, throws his arms around Longwanzi's neck, and kisses him and kisses him and kisses him. It is long past 5 in the morning, but Longwanzi is still in bed because Wei Ying is wrapped around him like a vine, a particularly tenacious and naked vine, still bearing the marks Longwanzi left on his skin, marks that didn't heal overnight, unlike the ones on Longwanzi's skin. Longwanzi brushes one such mark at the juncture between neck and shoulder as he watches Wei Ying sleep safe and warm in his arms. From the shadows under his eyes, Wei Ying looks like he hasn't slept well in too long. When they shared a room during their investigation, Longwanzi learned that Wei Ying is prone to nightmares. He flinches and frowns and begs for mercy or calls out the names of people long dead. A gentle touch and speaking Wei Ying's name are often enough to soothe him back into sleep. The nightmares reveal all the pain and guilt hidden behind Wei Ying's sunny and happy face. He sacrificed everything to save the Wen remnants. But in the end, all that remained was one beloved child who became the only brightness left in the unrelieved gray of Longwanzi's life, and a kind and gentle soul who was neither truly alive nor truly dead. And then there were those 3 unaccounted for months that Wei Ying has never spoken of. Longwanzi presses a kiss to the sleep-warm skin of Wei Ying's temple and hopes that one day Wei Ying will feel safe enough, secure enough, to tell him of those 3 months in Chenting and the Stygian Tiger Seal. Wei Ying stirs and makes a soft noise that sounds very smug as he snuggles closer. Longwanzi feels inexpressibly fond as he looks down at that beloved face, still soft and blurred around the edges with sleep.
Lan Chan, Wei Ying breathes. A quiet kiss is pressed to the brand over Longwanzi's heart.
Wei Ying folds his arms over Longwanzi's chest and rests his chin on his forearm. There's a dreamy look in his eyes as his gaze roves over Longwanzi's face.
Wei Ying.
Wei Ying's mouth tips up at the corners. Unable to resist the temptation any longer now that Wei Ying is awake, Longwanzi pulls him into a languid kiss. Wei Ying goes pliant in his arms and returns the kiss with a sweet moan. Before the banked embers from the night before can burst into flame, Longwanzi ends the kiss. He's content for the moment to savor the feeling of Wei Ying curled up close by his side. He combs Wei Ying's hair back from his face and basks in the warmth of the smile that blossoms at his touch.
You know, Lan Chan, I had so many plans ready for how I was going to court you.
Wei Ying looks up, lower lip pushed out into an adorable pout that tempts Longwanzi to nip at it.
It was a proper campaign, he adds and gives a mock sigh. I even made notes.
You may still court me.
Wei Ying blinks at him for 3 long seconds, mouth hanging open.
Hongguan Jun, how shameless! You've already bedded me and deflowered this innocent virgin.
Wei Ying waves a hand to indicate, presumably, his naked and deflowered body.
And you still want to be courted?
Longwanzi nods. Being wasteful is prohibited.
Wei Ying laughs, eyes turned into crescents that twinkle with love and adoration.
Lung Wansi thought he was already thoroughly wrapped around Wei Ying's little finger. Seeing Wei Ying like this, he realizes now that he was wrong.
Lan Chan, Wei Ying wags a finger at him. You'd best prepare yourself. I'm shameless too, remember?
Lung Wansi hums in assent. The coming months will certainly prove vastly more entertaining than his past year has been. As Wei Ying smiles up at him, he decides that perhaps this time it will be safe to ask. Raising Sishui taught him that sometimes it's necessary to overcome his natural reticence and make his intentions clear.
Wei Ying, come back to Cloud Recesses with me, to stay or to visit a while.
Ah, Wei Ying demurs, and something cold curdles in the pit of Lan Wansi's stomach. No, Lan Chan, don't look like that. Wei Ying cups a hand around Lan Wansi's face, thumb stroking the arch of his cheekbone. It's not that I don't want to. I do, of course I do. If there's one thing I've learned these past months, it's that wherever you are is where I'm happiest. But...
Wei Ying sits up, taking all the warmth with him. The blanket pools around his lap. In the bright light of mid-morning, Lan Wansi can see the marks he left on Wei Ying's skin, and he wonders how he could have gotten it so wrong once again. He pushes himself upright and turns to face Wei Ying. But...
Eyes downcast, Wei Ying reaches out and strokes the hair that falls over Lan Wansi's shoulder in a gentle caress. I thought to redeem my reputation first. You are the chief cultivator and I'm the Yiling Patriarch. I would taint.
You are Wei Ying.
Lan Wansi takes both of Wei Ying's hands in his and grips them tight.
The cultivation world can either accept you by my side or find another chief cultivator. Come back to Cloud Recesses with me.
There is a moment of complete silence as Wei Ying stares at him with lips parted in surprise. Then a strange gurgling noise escapes him.
Ah, Lan Chan, I can deny you nothing. Yes, yes, I will come back to Cloud Recesses with you.
With a smile that is the brightest thing in Lung Wansi's sky, Wei Ying lunges forward and proceeds to kiss him breathless. The end.